Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is Tuesday, April 11th. It is the Tuesday of Holy Week. And if you've been joining me this week for this this four-part episode, then you know that I am working my way not only through the assigned lectionary texts that were assigned for Sunday, April 9th, of Palm Sunday, but also of Passion Sunday. I'm working my way through those assigned texts like I tend to do each week, but I'm also working my way through the assigned lectionary texts for each day of Holy Week. So the assigned gospel text for today, which is Holy Tuesday. And for me personally, I am trying to be as present as possible during this Holy Week, to be engaged in the texts, to spend some time on this journey, paying attention to the words of God, to paying attention to the events of Jesus's life during this week, the events that lead up to, of course, his eventual crucifixion and death, but then, of course, also his eventual resurrection on Easter Sunday. So I'm trying to stay as present as I possibly can, and I know that that can be difficult for a lot of us when our schedules are crazy and our lives are busy. I don't know what you're doing this Holy Week, but I hope you're finding ways to stay connected and stay present. And if listening to this podcast is helping, then that's wonderful. I hope it is. I just hope that you're finding other ways, even if it's not this podcast, which you wouldn't be hearing if you weren't listening. So just ignore me. I hope you're engaged this Holy Week and that you're finding ways to connect spiritually with God and with your loved ones and with just the what it means, what this week means, new promises from God, God showing God's love for us, Jesus showing his love for us in his actions on the cross. So I think that's probably enough babbling for me today. We are going to take a quick break, our first quick break like usual, but I will let you know that we will be discussing the assigned psalm for April 9th, and that psalm is Psalm 116. And then we'll be discussing after that the assigned gospel text assigned for Holy Tuesday for this year, and that is John chapter 12. So when we come back, we'll be discussing that psalm, Psalm 116. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. As I mentioned before the break, we will be discussing first the assigned lectionary psalm for the week of April 9th, and that is Psalm 116, verses 1 through 2 and 12 through 19. Those verses are as follows. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. So again, that is Psalm 116, verses 1 through 2 and 12 through 19. And it is the assigned, as I said, the assigned psalm for this week. And if you joined me yesterday, then I was speaking of how Palm/Passion Sunday often gets turned into kind of a mishmash, maybe not a mishmash, but a service that does all of Holy Week in one service. So you get Palm Sunday, you get Maundy Thursday, you get Good Friday, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then of course you don't get Easter. You actually have to wait for Easter, but it all kind of comes together. And so yesterday, when we talked about the assigned Old Testament reading, that was the Suffering Servant Song, which is often seen as a prophecy that talks about Jesus, or it could be a prophecy that talks about the nation of Israel as a whole. So you see the Suffering Servant, you see a lot of that kind of foreshadows Good Friday, things that will foreshadow the gospel text, the Passion Gospel text that is often read on Palm Passion Sunday, the Suffering Servant. And you see a little bit of that in this psalm here today. Not the suffering part per se, but you get that servant. The psalmist is saying, "O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds." And this is a psalm of thanksgiving. The psalmist even says, "I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord." The first couple of verses in this text are included. We read 12 through 19, but we also started with 1 through 2, and that is, "I love the Lord because the Lord has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live." You get this lovely introduction, actually. The psalmist is saying that clearly he was having some difficulties in his life. We don't know what they were. They're not described in these verses, but the psalmist loves God because God has heard his voice. God has heard his supplications. So the psalmist was going through something, we don't know what, but clearly he turned to God in that time of trial, during those times when he needed some extra help. And he is praising God now for hearing his voice, for hearing those prayers, that cry for help. And because of that, because God inclined God's ear to the psalmist, therefore the psalmist says, "I will call on him as long as I live." This is definitely a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm that expresses the psalmist's joy and gratitude for God having heard the prayers of the psalmist during his most desperate times. And I do want to look at some commentary on this text so that we can understand it a little better. The commentary that I was reading for this week is from Mark Thronfeit, who is the Elva B. Lovell Professor of Old Testament at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And he does write that Psalm 116, as I said, is a Thanksgiving psalm. He said, "These hymns were sung by those whose earlier lament or prayer for help in time of trouble had been answered. Laments," he says, "frequently conclude with promises to return to the temple in order to tell the worshiping community what God has done and encourage them to join the psalmist in praise of God's goodness. These testimonies, for that is what they are often recognized by their characteristic past tense verbs." So that's actually really helpful, right? That tells us a lot about the psalm. So as I was saying, the psalmist was having an earlier lament, and we've talked before, if you've joined me, about lament psalms, those psalms where the psalmist almost seems angry or bitter at God, but just because their life is not going well. So the psalmist takes all of that, all of those dark times, all of those negative experiences, and takes them to God and says, "God, I need your help. I don't know what to do here." And even though they might sound bitter or resentful, to me, that makes sense because we don't always go to God in times of joy and thanksgiving. We most often go to God when we are feeling out of our league, out of our depth, when things seem hopeless, when we feel helpless. And so we go to God, and you might have a different style of praying than I do, than a lot of other people do, but many of us take those feelings to God, and we do maybe come across as a little bitter and resentful. You know, where are you, God? Where are you in this time of trial, in this time of suffering? And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about the Psalms, because we can take whatever we're feeling to God. Some people read the Lament Psalms and they feel uncomfortable because they feel like they shouldn't talk to God like that, because God loves us and has given us so much. And that's true. God does love us, and God has given us so many promises. God has created new covenants with us through Jesus, and we should be grateful for that. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to come to God with our entire beings, with our entire selves. We don't just go to God and express the good things. It's kind of like social media. You know how when you're on social media and you're looking at your friends' timelines, let's say on Facebook, and they're posting, you know, their adorable children or their new job or all of these wonderful things, but they're not posting, you know, some people do, of course, but most often people aren't posting that they're mad at their husband or they're, you know, fighting with their neighbors, or that, you know, they do post some of the bad things. But most of the time when we look on social media, we tend to see the joyous occasions, right? Because people want to share those things. Well, that shouldn't be our relationship with God. We shouldn't have a social media relationship with God. We should be able to go to God in honesty and tell God everything that is going on in our lives. If we're angry, if we're bitter, if we're sad, that's fine. God wants to hear those things. God wants to be in communication and relationship with us. God wants to hear everything that's going on in our lives, even if it feels a little strange, even if we feel guilty later for feeling like we shouldn't talk to God that way. But if, in my humble opinion, I feel like we should be able to talk to God about whatever is going on in our lives, and that God will be there for us, because God, in fact, does love us, and God has made promises to and for us. So back to the commentary about this lament psalm, this Thanksgiving psalm, the commentator goes on, since the lament or prayer for help takes place at the time of the psalmist's distress, the verbs employed are in the present tense. In my distress, I cry to the Lord that he may answer me. Deliver me, O Lord. But since the Thanksgiving psalm narrates what God had done in response to the psalmist's prayer for help, the verbs are then in the past. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. So the general scholarly consensus on the genre of Psalm 116, however, has not resulted in a clear formulation of its structure. So it is a Thanksgiving psalm, but it doesn't follow the, often psalms have a structure, and often that structure is laid out in lament, and then cry for help, and then supplication. This one does not, he says, fall under that same typical structure, which isn't that important. I mean, it is important. Obviously, it is important in the sense of studying this psalm. But he says, be that as it may, this intensely personal psalm, 35 first, he says 35 first person references, which is a lot in a psalm, right? He says, this intensely personal psalm begins with a loving expression of gratitude for God's grace and answered prayer, and then jumps to a vow or promise in which the psalmist wonders, what shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? And I think for me, as I'm looking at this psalm in context of Holy Week, because again, as I said, we read this on Palm/Passion Sunday. So all of the texts assigned for that Sunday have something to do with Holy Week in some way. Obviously, this psalm was not written for Holy Week. It was written at a much earlier time, but we read it on Palm Sunday, Palm Passion Sunday. And for me, as I'm reading this, this is, we cry to God in despair, in lament, and God answers us, even when we don't always recognize that. And then the psalmist says that, what shall I do? What shall I do in response to this amazing gift that God has given me by answering my prayers, by hearing my prayers and listening to my cries of distress? Well, that's the question that we're asked all the time. What will we do in response to this amazing gift that God has given us? What will we do in response to this amazing gift of Jesus's resurrection that gives us resurrection promises, the promise of eternal life with God through Jesus? And so to me, that's what this psalm is reminding me of, reminding me that I can take my emotions to God. I can take whatever it is that I am feeling to God. I can cry out to God in despair and distress, and God always hears me, always listens to me, even when it doesn't feel like it, even when God's timing isn't my timing. And then what do I do in response to that? What will you do in response to that? What are the things that you do to share God's love in the world with others? What do you do to take those resurrection promises and fulfill them in your daily life to make your tiny corner of the world just a little bit better? So that's my personal commentary, but also Mark Thronfite's commentary on this Psalm 116. And we are going to take our second break, but when we come back, we'll be talking about the Psalm assigned for Holy Tuesday, and that is the Gospel assigned for Holy Tuesday, excuse me, and that is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, I was speaking about Psalm 116, and now we are turning our attention to the Gospel assigned for today, Holy Tuesday, and that is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 36, and those verses are as follows. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. So again, that is the gospel assigned for today, Holy Tuesday, and it is John chapter 12, verses 20 through 36. And there's a lot going on here. I wonder what you heard as I read through this, if there was anything that jumped out at you. For me, it's the fact that John's gospel is always a little bit different from the synoptic gospels, the gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which tend to tell the story a little more narratively than John does. John tends to speak in a lot more images. His gospel seems a little bit... it's definitely different than those other gospels, and he does that in through a lot of parables, through a lot of I am statements, through a lot of, it seems a little bit more mystical maybe than the synoptic gospels. And we get that here. We get Jesus speaking of the things that are going to happen. So we can see why this would be included in the Holy Week readings, because Jesus is speaking about his death. He's trying to prepare his followers that his death is imminent. And of course, you know, they don't understand, because as we spoke about during the Palm Sunday podcast, the people who come to Jesus come to him with their own needs, with their own expectations. They see Jesus, the Messiah, in a certain way, and they come to him with those expectations, hoping that their expectations will be fulfilled. So to hear Jesus talk about his death and then being raised up, they don't understand, because for them, the Messiah comes, the Messiah makes everything right, the Messiah is forever. So how can Jesus be speaking this way? And again, John speaks in more word pictures than anything. And so Jesus is saying, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. And he's speaking, of course, of his own death. He's using the wheat analogy to speak of his own death and what that will mean in terms of our relationship with God, in terms of the promises that God has made us. And that when he dies, that's going to lead to that covenant. The resurrection will lead to a new covenant with God. Now, there is this verse in here that says, those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And that can be a little tricky, because people tend to take verses like this out of context. You know, that's called proof texting, when you just take a single verse and throw it out there to prove your point. And sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't take in the rest of the verses surrounding the one verse that you're using. And this is one of those. Many people think that we should just, we shouldn't appreciate, or we should hate our lives here on earth. Some people refer to the Bible as BIBLE, an acronym standing for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And so they think that the time here on earth isn't as important as the time that we spend in eternity with God. And so you should spend your time here not because you're responding to the promises that God has made, but because you're just trying to get past this part. Like, this is the, you know, this is the part that you just want to fast forward through, jump over it, and get to the good stuff. But God sent Jesus for a reason. Jesus was fully human. Jesus lived into that full humanness that he had. He spent his time here not hating his life, not just waiting for it to be over, but actively engaging with his neighbors, with his disciples, with his followers, trying to tell them and teach them as much as he possibly could, trying to do his work, trying to do God's work here on earth in whatever time had been allotted him. And I think the same thing is for us. Jesus didn't die for us so that we could just skip through our life just waiting to get to the so-called good stuff. No, Jesus did that because it brings us into a different relationship with God. It brings us into a new set of promises with God, where God promises that we will be with God forever. But if God didn't want us to have a human life, then we wouldn't have a human life, right? We would just spend eternity with God in whatever form that takes. So our time here on earth is to be spent, hopefully, as the psalmist says, you know, in thanksgiving. What will we do in response to this amazing gift that we've been given? How will we share God's love with each other? How will we do God's work in the world? And I've mentioned before that I am Lutheran, a part of the ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And they've had a day of service the last few years. And the theme of that day of service is called God's Work, Our Hands. So we are doing God's work, but of course we're doing it with our hands, with our bodies, with our gifts and abilities. And every day, we could say, should have that theme of God's work, our hands. How are we doing God's work? How are we using the gifts that we have been given to do God's work in this world, to improve the lives of our brothers and sisters? Our brothers and sisters of every walk of life, of every, you know, nationality, whatever it is, man, woman, race, ethnicity, gender, religion, how are we working to make our community a better place, to show the love of God to our brothers and sisters, regardless of if they completely agree with everything we believe in or not? Now, I've kind of moved away from the text, so I'm going to go back to it. Jesus is continuing to speak about his death, and he says his soul is troubled, which is understandable, right? I mean, I can't even imagine going through Holy Week, knowing what Jesus knew, knowing what was coming. It's hard enough 2,000 years later for me to read some of these things and know what's coming, even knowing the ending. And he says his soul is troubled, which I totally get. This is the humanness of Jesus. But still, he knows what he has been sent here to do. And he says, should I ask God to take me from this, to take this hour from me? And he says no, because it's the reason that I have come. And he says he's doing it to glorify God in heaven, to do what God has sent him to do. And at that moment, then God's voice is heard from the heavens. And this isn't the first time that this has happened. We heard God's voice at Jesus's baptism, right? This is my beloved, my son, the beloved. And now we hear again, it's kind of bookending, right? The beginning of Jesus's public ministry, and now here at the end of Jesus's public ministry, we hear God's voice. And we hear that God is speaking, you know, proudly of God's son, of the work that God has done, that Jesus has done in his time on earth. And so Jesus is speaking of his death and refers to himself as the light, which he does often in the Gospel of John. I am the light of the world. And he says, the light is with you for a little longer. He says, walk while you have the light. He's trying to encourage them to learn as much as they possibly can while they have Jesus with them. Because when Jesus is gone, they may feel like they are in the darkness, but they still will have Jesus with them. They'll have that light with them. So if they walk while they can in the light, then they take that light with them, so they may become children of light. And I have always really loved this image of light, because light in the darkness is such a powerful thing. And even when we are feeling our most down, our most feeling in the pits of despair even, we still carry that light of Christ within us. And that light can get us through some of the darkest times. So again, this is Holy Tuesday, and I hope that you are engaged in some Holy Week activities, whether that's worship or your own personal Bible study or whatever it is that you feel you are able to do this week to connect with God and connect with your relationship with God, to connect with your community of God. I hope that you are able to do that. That is all the time that we have for today. I hope you'll join me tomorrow when we talk about the texts assigned for Holy Wednesday. We'll be talking about the gospel text assigned for Holy Wednesday, as well as the final text assigned for April 9th, the lectionary text for the New Testament lectionary text. As always, I want to thank you for joining me. I want to remind you that you can find this podcast and all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, anywhere that you download podcasts for your mobile device. You can find us there, and I hope you'll check out all of our podcasts, see if there's anything else that catches your attention. And I would love to hear from you. I say this, I would love to hear what your thoughts are on the texts that we read each day, each week. I would love to hear what your thoughts are on Holy Week. What are your favorite Holy Week memories? What are your favorite Easter traditions, if you have them? So connect with me on social media. You can find me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and Tumblr. Just look for GSMC Bible Study, and you will be able to find me. So thank you again for joining me. I hope you'll join me again tomorrow. And as always, I want to leave you with the reminder that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.